Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Chris Miles here, host of the Chris Miles Money Show, cash flow expert, and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur, showing you how to live prosperously today, to love your life, and to truly be able to have more money now and in the future. So we've got a great part four episode for you today, don't we? Does God want you to be rich? This is going to be the final part of our series here today. And before we do so, I just want to make sure I remind all of our listeners here that you definitely check out our website, www.moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. And go ahead and check out. We got a lot of free information. We got blogs. We got events. We got all kinds of great things that are coming up. So please check it out. I'd love to be able to meet some of you face-to-face versus just having you listen to what we're talking about here on these shows. So today, I want to wrap up this final part of the series where we're really talking about, really, does God want you to be rich? And today, specifically, we're talking about, you know, really, how can you help others, how can you serve others in a way that creates wealth for you and it's getting rich the right way? And we're going to talk about things like, how about retirement? How does that all fit in? And with a lot of things that have been taught out there, how does this all tie in with the big picture? So we're really trying to wrap this all together from the last several weeks that we've had here. If you recall, if we go back to the first episode we talked about, does God really want you to be rich? And the answer to that is no. He does not want you to just be rich. Like any good parent, at least any decent parent, they're not going to want their kids to become spoiled by just receiving things without understanding how to truly use it, how to truly be responsible for it and be a good steward over it. So instead of God wanting us to be rich, he wants us to be good stewards of what we have. He wants us to use, you know, everything that we're given in a wise way that actually creates more of a legacy. It creates more than what it consumes. We leave this planet much better than we did when we came. That's the key. And so does God want everybody to be rich? Not in the way that most people think. But he does want us to all be good stewards, and then as a byproduct of that we all become rich. In the second episode, we talked about why so many people believe that God and money are in opposition. Why they believe that, you know, for whatever reason, that you know, money is the root of all evil, or even the love of money is the root of all evil, forgetting that what the root of money is serving people, that the more people you serve, the more money you can make. Now, granted, money can be defined in many different ways. It may not be dollars, but it might come back in the form of service or love or whatever it might be. But definitely that money is a natural byproduct of what we give. It's a natural byproduct of us serving God's children, our brothers and sisters. And so how do we bring that to harmony? We got to make sure that we understand that the divine, one of the biggest divine callings that we have is to become prosperous, is to serve many, many people. And a lot of times money is just going to be a byproduct of doing that. And that's where we went into the episode last week. We talked about some of those traits. You know, how does love fit in? How about charity? And charity from a Christian standpoint, not just charity of giving money away. And we did talk about that as well a little bit. You know, what about patience? You know, what about kindness? What about all those things that we do, you know, honesty and integrity? All those traits are absolutely necessary when we're trying to become successful, and successful spiritually, successful financially, successful in all areas of life. Principles are principles, and they work regardless. They work in all areas, not just one. And so that's where we left off last week, and now this week I really want to tie it all together. And I know that with the synopsis we just gave, it definitely gave a good overview of what we're talking about. But I want to remind you again of how I see that stewardship. How do I see that really show up practically? You know, how does that really look in real life? Now, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm just a steward in training just like you are. And so I'm not claiming to be perfect. I'm not claiming to be anyone that's got it completely figured out. You know, this is something that we're all on a journey on together, but definitely it's something that I've learned to master over several years to the point where I've seen it work, and then when I've violated these principles, I've seen it work against me too. You know, many of you, if you've listened to some previous episodes I've had, You know, there were times where I let pride take over, where I let, you know, money end up being a really a thorn in my side versus something that was good. And it wasn't the money per se, but it was how I was using it. You know, was I using it in a way to serve people, or was I using it in a way to just gratify my own pride, to make up for my lack of self-confidence and my lack of personal divine value in myself? And that's a big part of what happened to me, is that I use money in a way to show people, look, I did it, right? To prove something to somebody else, not as a way to serve God. Now, granted, I wasn't totally bad. I still had those thoughts, too, of how I could serve God. And so I was kind of bipolar a little bit. And that's why it created a little bit of a dilemma. And eventually I ended up finding myself losing a lot of that money. I've also seen, too, on the flip side of gaining money back as a result of being able to be a good steward and a wise steward and really admitting that God is the source and author of all prosperity, that it's through God that we have all of our blessings that we have. It's through Him that we're able to grow and prosper and be able to live more happily, and that the money is just a temporary tool here that we're able to use as a way to be able to serve our fellow brothers and sisters, and as a way to grow from using that as something to create. If you think about it, money is just a great way to create. You know, it's something that obviously probably in heaven we don't really need a lot of things like money. I mean, obviously there's a lot of, you know, deeper principles like principles of consecration where we give of ourselves in so many different ways to and all of us are trying out there creating and producing. Now that's kind of how I see heaven, so we're a bunch of creators and producers out there serving each other, and that money is not necessarily a thing of exchange, but it's a great thing to use right now. It's a great thing to learn how to use to develop and grow, because money does have cause and effect. Now, the very principles that help us grow spiritually can also help us grow financially. And so there's a lot to do with this that I want to really bring in into limelight. You know, many people, when they talk about finances, it's very much disconnected with God. And many people don't even believe you can have the two come in harmony. They don't believe that the two are the same, that either you love God or you love money, but you can't love both. I believe that you can love God and use money in a way to serve people. And so when I look at this, I look at it as a way that, you know, when we see the financial industry, it's always about really forgetting God, isn't it? It's always about, here's how to rely on markets. Here's how to rely on your own strength, on your own hand. And I'm not saying that you can't be responsible. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it's very much disconnected with the spiritual nature of money. Have you ever noticed that? You ever notice that it's more about really just using products and tools that are very temporary, but nothing that really teaches you lessons of how to be a better steward? You know, that's one thing that's really the underlying theme of a lot of what I teach. You know, I just finished doing an event this last weekend, and, you know, I can guarantee you that some people kind of got the hint that I tend to use the word steward a lot. I tend to talk a lot about stewardship and how that's the key, really the crux of making everything work financially in your life. Without it, it just doesn't work. You can't truly prosper and grow if you're not using money in a great way. Now, granted, you can use other things, but if you're not being a good steward of everything you're being given, not just your money, but your time, talents, your relationships, your experiences, your education, your passions, you know, all these things you've been given, if you're truly trying to be a good steward of these things, it's amazing how money will be a natural, easy byproduct. But see, everybody's teaching us that money seems like this obscure thing, like something that's mysterious. It's something that you have to get lucky, you know, or some, you know, either you have to lie, cheat, or steal your way to get there, which is so not true. You know, or they talk about things where, you know, you've got to get lucky a little bit, win the lottery, or whatever it might be. Well, we've already seen what happens when people win the lottery and they're not ready for that stewardship. We know that they lose it. They can't handle it. I've seen people where it's not even the lottery. I've seen people where they've sold businesses and made great money off of it, but then lose that money quickly because they've never knew what to do with the money when they had it. They didn't know how to master that amount of money because they didn't master the smaller amount. And so coming back to that parable of the talents that's in the New Testament of the Bible, remember there's three stewards there. There's one steward that was given a certain amount of money. So these amounts of money are called talents in the Jewish culture. So with the one The one person, he was given five sums of money or five talents. Another person was given two, and the third one was given one. The one with five went out, and after a certain amount of time, the master who gave him this money, he lent them this money. This is why I did a show on is debt, you know, about debt, because so many people believe that debt, especially those of a Christian nature, believe that debt is evil. But in reality, in the Bible, they're using debt in a positive way. And so it is based on stewardship. And so these three people go out with this debt that they were loaned this money to go out and make more money. So after a certain period of time of reckoning, they come back to report. The person with five came back with five more talents. He doubled his money. The master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I've made you a master of a few things. Now I'll make you a master over many. Come and basically join my kingdom." Now the person with two came back with two more, also received the same exact reward. Notice he didn't have to go out and make 10. He just went out and did well, doubled whatever he was given, and that was just worthy enough of the reward as the person that had lots of money coming back. It's kind of the same difference. Like you might not end up becoming a millionaire compared to somebody that might be a billionaire, but it doesn't mean that your reward isn't going to be the same, especially when you try to make more of what you're given. So in the eyes of God, it doesn't care if you're a millionaire, billionaire, or a thousandaire. The thing is that that's not the key. That's not the key factor here, right? So the person with two came back with two more, got the same exact reward. Now the person with one, now he feared losing it. So what he did is he went and buried that money. He buried it. He dug it back up at the time of reckoning, came back, brought back all the money. He paid back his debt in full. The master said, "Thou slothful and not a wise servant." Basically, you lazy and crazy person, stupid person, whatever. You know, he just said, "Hey, I told you what to do. You knew what I required of you, and you didn't go do it. Get out." And that person was cast out. And the point is, I believe that this, when it comes to the spiritual principle, this is very much a spiritual principle of everything, not just money, of course. And this is dealing with your time, your talents, your passions, your experiences, your education. How do you use everything that you've been given in a way to serve your brothers and sisters? This is what's really being taught here, is it not? And so with money being a key piece of that, many, many people have a harder time giving of their money than anything. Sometimes they're not a good steward because they just go and blow it. Sometimes they just give it away, and they give it away to people that don't really deserve it, and then they wonder why that money doesn't go out and produce more, doesn't create more. This is why even if I'm looking to loan money to somebody, I want strings attached because I want them to be able to be a good steward of that money. I want the money to increase and grow if it's in their hands instead of not my own. I can't be responsible for everything that they do, of course, but I want to make sure that I see that any amount of money I have is sacred. It's to be used that way. It's to be used to enrich and beautify and create more. In fact, there's a great quote. I'm not looking at it right now, but you know, one of my friends posted on Facebook. It was a quote from Brigham Young that basically said, he said that money is used to enrich our lives, to increase our health and our wealth, and to enrich our relationships and everything that we have. It's to be used to enrich our lives and the lives of those around us. Is used to beautify and to increase and grow. And that's the whole purpose of what we are dealing with this, is that our money is just a very tangible expression of a spiritual nature. It's one way to show our spirituality is through our money. If you've noticed, money is really just a magnifier of our souls. Money just makes us more of who we already are. So money is you know, if you notice that people become jerks with money, they were already a jerk in the first place. Money just gave them the expression for that to come out. Some people say, like, well, I don't want to corrupt my children. Well, trust me, if your children were corrupted with a lot of money, they were corrupted beforehand. So what do we need to do to teach them to be wise stewards? This is also why I don't believe that God just blesses people with a lot of money from coming out of their mother's womb. Granted, you might inherit a lot, but that's not the point. You're born with nothing and you leave with nothing. And so to be humble and to be willing to use that money in a way to grow and to increase by degrees when it comes to your wealth is great. When people just get a windfall of cash, it does them no good. So obviously when we go through this journey together, we're learning step by step. you know, here a little and there a little, right? We're learning little bit, a little at a time. Now, I want to talk about something that's also in the traditional financial industry, which is called retirement. So, you know, there's through a lot of marketing done to you, there's a lot of people are teaching you about retiring in your 60s usually, right? 60, 62, 65, 67, whatever it might be. Some people are getting older as they're retiring. You know, and then retirement is typically, if you notice, like everything that's being advertised to you about retirement is all about, you know, how to basically have no job, no obligations, sit on a beach, and have your margaritas or whatever, you know, just enjoy life, do nothing, you know, or worst case, maybe like some of our grandparents, maybe you're sitting on the front porch swing drinking lemonade all day, right? Just sitting out there doing nothing. I got to tell you that I truly believe, and this is my opinion, that that is a wrong way of living. I believe that is an unholy way of living, and that I don't care which religion you are. I think you'd probably notice that in any religion, our life is not meant to be squandered and wasted sitting on a front porch swing drinking lemonade. It's also not to be squandered to be sitting on a beach somewhere. I realized this firsthand when I was 28 years old and I found out I could retire. When I got to a place where I could retire and I could only, you know, work maybe a couple hours a week at most and be able to have more than enough money to cover my family's needs, it really brought into a real, very drastic realization that I could do so much more. In fact, I remember feeling fidgety. I thought, well, my life's got to be more than this. I've got to have more purpose or reason behind my life. And so I started volunteering at the local college, teaching ballroom dancing and choreographing teams and things like that, and enjoying my life, but I still felt like there had to be something more. And I felt like that blessing of being able to retire was something I needed to share. And so it was just a matter of months before I finally just got sick and tired of it. I did actually almost open up a couple dance studios or dinner and dance type of venues, but something kept stopping me. And I realized a few months after I stopped making bids and offers on these buildings to start up this kind of business, that all of a sudden the opportunity came along for me to start teaching a lot of these things that I teach, especially about money and so forth. And I remember I became much more mission-driven and passion-driven, and my life became richer because of it. Regardless of the money, it was amazing. I could see no better way to spend my retirement than to do that. And so I personally see retirement as something that's absolutely not in the will of God, not in the traditional sense that everybody's trying to push and advertise on you. I see that, granted, if you're going to retire, maybe you don't make money at a certain point, but I never see a time when it's okay to stop serving. I never see a time when it's okay to just not serve at all. I know there's extenuating circumstances. I know that there's people that, you know, might be in a place where they can't serve, or at least they can't serve in the way they used to. Maybe there's a physical debilitation that's creating a situation where you're focusing all your efforts just trying to be healthy. And I understand that. But I've also seen those same people too be able to influence people and create great value in people's lives. Maybe not financially, and some do possibly, but even from a standpoint of just being who you are, being that spiritual being that you're meant to be, being that divine person that's able to really influence people for good, I mean, and inspire faith and hope and things like that, there's so many ways that you can use that. And so I truly don't see retirement as something that can happen. To use another example, there's a pioneer here that moved here to Utah, brought a lot of the pioneers out here, was a leader of some of the people out here. And, you know, I was reading a talk of his he gave back in 1853, and he was actually talking about economic principles and how to prosper. Because when they first settled in the valley, it was a complete desert. If any of you have been out here in Utah, you kind of know it's still a desert, but a lot greener than it used to be. And there's definitely there's a lot of irrigation that was created here and things like that that have been used in other places around the country and even around the world. There's been a lot of innovations that have been created to help make this place a prosperous place. And even today, in the United States, Utah is one of the more prosperous states in the country. And I think a lot of it's because of this attitude of going out, and there's definitely a lot of industry or, you know, thrift, and a lot of those kind of good values have been instilled in people that are here in Utah. It's kind of more of a culture that you're to go out and work your tail off, right? And so there's a lot of hard workers here and a lot of entrepreneurs too. But I'll tell you, it's much, much more. He gives a talk, and he starts talking about a particular farmer. This farmer farms his fields. He makes it grow and prosper. Because he talks a lot about that our purpose is to beautify the land, right? So he's talking about Utah. He's like, hey, we got to beautify this place and make it better. Beautify your communities. And this time, the gold rush was still kind of going in 1853. He was mentioning about how people would head off to California and search for gold. When he said, listen, the wealth is right here underneath your own feet. It's right here. Till the ground, work it, and find out what happens. In fact, I even saw him give a speech 20 years later, and it was amazing how he then said, hey, you've seen the proof of this, and now we can go do this, and hey, we can you know, use silkworms and start creating silk and all this other kind of stuff of industries that can be created in Utah. A pretty fascinating type of reads. So anyways, he starts talking about this farmer who really farms well. He grows it. He increases his wealth on his farm. He sells his farm. And he sells it for a good sum of money. The sum of money, I believe he said, was $150,000. Or at least that's what he used to start the new business. $150,000 back in those days was almost like saying you could sell your let's say you're selling your own property or your own business for $6 or $7 million. I know a lot of people that think they would just retire off $6 or $7 million. This guy did not do that. Instead, he said, no, I'm going to take that money. I'm going to start a wool factory. So he creates a wool factory. Hires dozens, if not hundreds of employees through his wool factory, hired a lot of the immigrants coming into the valley that needed work, that had skills but didn't have a place to use them. And they wanted to be able to find a way to provide and feed and clothe their families. So this guy just didn't give away. He says, hey, I'm going to create jobs for you to be able to, one, have more self-respect, and then, two, to be able to have a way to be able to grow and prosper and be able to support your family by providing work for you. So he took that money and he invested it into that factory, that wool factory. Now, that wool factory blossomed and prospered for about 5 or 10 years. And then down the road, he says that it became very prosperous. And, of course, this guy created a lot of cash flow and created a lot of wealth in the meantime. Then all of a sudden, he had, you know, there's a few men that came and said, hey, listen, we've got gold. We've got these rocks here, but we want to use this gold to buy something that's great. I mean, you've built whole towns and communities because of your business. And we want to be able to have, you know, you got everything you need right here. We want to buy that. Basically, in other words, we want to buy it with this useless rock called gold because really it gives us no benefit unless we can use our gold for something because money is meant to be used. And so they end up buying the factory for $500,000. Now imagine this. Imagine if you could sell your business for like about $25 to $30 million. Wouldn't you think at that point you'd probably say, you know what, okay, I think we're good. We could probably retire. But not stewards, not people that understand the divine nature of money and how their lives work. And so this guy kept going. He says, all right, well, let's see if we can build something bigger and better. And so he goes and he builds another company to hire hundreds, if not thousands, of workers. And the story goes on and on. The point of it is this, is that I truly believe as stewards that we're here to create, expand, and grow. Now, I'm not saying you have to go make millions and millions of dollars. That's not it. But I do believe, and I really, truly believe this, is that we have a divine responsibility to expand our means, to go beyond just our own families, to be able to serve our brothers and sisters around us, to be able to help provide those means. It might be jobs. It might be other things. Heck, you know, when you have somebody serve you, when you pay somebody, maybe it's a contractor just to help you do something, is to help you do something around the house. You're providing work. Sure, you could go and do some of the work yourself. I know the funny thing is this stuff was taught in Utah. It's funny how in Utah a lot of people are the ultimate, you know, DIYers, the ultimate do-it-yourselfers. And so a lot of times people will try to save money by doing everything themselves and forget that huge principle of exchange, that the more we exchange with other people, the wealthier everybody else becomes. It's through that exchange. Again, it's not tossing away dollars. It's not being irresponsible because you don't want to consume more than you create. You don't want to spend more than you make because that creates debt. That's not good. But, you know, if you've got surplus, if you've got ways to do that, how can you increase your means with it? How can you make your money grow and expand and help you prosper and not just grow in some retirement account for the next 30 or 40 years? That does no good as a steward. That does not allow you to increase your means very well, especially today. What can you do to use that money right here, right now, as a way to serve others? And remember, dollars follow the value you create for other people. So as you serve others more and more, the more that it's able to come back as a financial benefit to you. You get paid when you serve people. You get paid when you offer something of value where they want to use those dollars to pay for that kind of value. That is the power of stewardship. That is the way that I believe God wants us to be rich. He just doesn't want us to be rich for nothing. He wants us to become good stewards, become responsible, to know how to use money in a way to provide for the needs of other people. It might be to create jobs. It might be, well, a lot of it is creating jobs. A lot of it is able to use that money in a way to serve people. You know, it might be, you might provide loans with your money. You know, I teach people that one way you can make money is you don't have to put in a 401k. What if you provide a loan to somebody that you knew was going to be a good steward of that money and make an increase? Well, why not share in that increase with them? Why not? You could partner up, or you can be a lender. You can do all kinds of things to make money with your money. Even if you don't have money, how do you turn your time and your talents and your passions and your strengths and everything you're given in education and experiences and turn it into a way, essentially this is like your life's resume, how can you use that resume in a way to produce more income, produce more money? I really believe that our purpose here is to be prosperous. And by the way, the more we exchange with other people, the more prosperous everybody becomes. The more you look at money as being something as scarce and something that you have to hold on to, and it becomes your God in a sense. That's where people start to hold on to money. Money does not exchange hands, and everybody suffers economically, including the person who's holding on to it with an iron grip. Everybody loses. But see, when it comes to stewardship, when you come to the real divine way of how money is to be used, everybody wins. Everybody can grow and prosper together as we're exchanging money and we're using it in a way to grow and increase our means, to increase our quality of life and to increase everybody else's quality of life. That is what money is meant to be used for. It's meant to serve other people. It is meant to be used, not to be hoarded and saved. It is meant to be used in a way to serve people. That is the power of money, and that's how God would want us to be rich. If we look at all the examples we see in different types of Christian scriptures and other things as well, and even in different cultures, I know Jewish culture is taught like this too. It's taught everywhere. Why don't we believe it? Why don't we put that faith into doing that? And I know many of you are listening to this because you're probably already that kind of person. That's why you're listening to this. But we can all do better. We can all increase our means. We can all increase our stewardship and be better stewards of what we're given. So that is what I'm asking you to do today. Boy, what a fun 4 weeks, huh? This has been great. Hey, I hope you've gotten great value from this. And again, I ask you, you know, if you love this, you know, check us out on our website, moneyripples.com. You know, come play with us. Come help us in this cause. Help us to live this kind of life. I can't do this without you. I cannot spread my influence without you living the very things we're teaching. I ask and I implore you to please take these principles and apply them and use them. You know, man, wait till you join us next week. We've got some great shows coming up. We've got some shows about, you know, how to turn passions into money. We've got all kinds of shows about some different financial strategies and things like that coming up. And a lot of things on principles too. And so stay tuned. And by the way, we're going to be moving into the next, after about the next month or so, we're going to start bringing on some great guests, people that I trust, that I know you'll love. So anyways, go out and make it a prosperous week. Go out and be a great steward and live the life that God meant you to live. And be able to be prosperous today. We'll see you.